The action. The sound. The pride. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE as John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the sound of the hounds. WHJE, your trusted source of Carmel football.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This again is WHJE. I'm John Perkins alongside Jesse Smith. Jesse, how are you doing today? That student section getting very, very excited out there. It's the first home game of the season. Jesse, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great today. You know, it's great to see the student section fill up like this, having pride for their Carmel Greyhounds. The team's coming out here in the second quarter, 12 minutes before the end of the first half. They switch sides of the field, so the Carmel Greyhounds will be going towards the right side, trying to paint a little bit of a visual for you here. From their own 38-yard line right in the middle of the field, it looks like James will come out in this pistol formation, and he will have four wide with three to his right. Perkins in the backfield. First play of the second quarter is underway as he's going to keep this one off the option, spinning around trying to fight for extra yards. He's going to get three extra after breaking the tackle, picking up four, setting up a third, and very manageable.
And a nice tackle there by number 52, Damon Lowe. We've mentioned him before, so he's picking up a few tackles here. Done a good job this game of really managing, and give a shout out there to Dave Calabro of Operation Football helping out our student section, getting him pumped.
So this time, James will come out with three wide, two to his left. Looks like we're going to have about a third and three situation. James staying out there, what could be a possible passing situation. We've only seen Lampy on one play, but what a play that was, a 48-yard pass. Perkins in the backfield. James will take the snap, hands it off to Perkins up the middle, barreling over, and it looks like he will have enough. Just across the 45-yard line to the 46, and that will move the chains for the Carmel Greyhounds, and they are getting close to midfield. And once you start getting into Trinity territory, I think that's really where you see the confidence start to boost.
And so that's going to be number 47, Adam King, with the tackle there. Again, a good job for the Greyhounds to advance the chains and really start to make some nice progress here.
Same formation for the Carmel Greyhounds with 11 minutes remaining in the first half from their own 46-yard line. James trying to get him to jump off, but he's going to get the extra signal from the sidelines. Directing out offense, we haven't seen too much motion from the Carmel Greyhounds tonight as we've seen in games past. He is going to give this one off to Perkins again. He stumbles, and he's going to be wrapped up right at the line of scrimmage. A beautiful play there by number 96, Connor Foos.
And Connor Foos, cool little story about him is his father. He played with Lou Holtz, or played under Lou Holtz, back in the 90s at Notre Dame, so quite the legacy to live up to if your dad's a former Notre Dame player. But, man, he's done a good job today getting some nice tackles on that defensive line.
Making fundamental tackles like that, you know, obviously you're living up to the expectations right there. 10:20 remaining in the first half, still 7-0 in favor of the Trinity Shamrocks after a beautiful pass by Reggie Bonifant on their last drive. They're going to put Scott in motion, same formation from the pistol, and that run going absolutely nowhere. James just lucky to get the handoff back across the 40-yard line as Perkins is brought down.
And again, that's Connor Foos right there. Again, we talked about him before. Number 96 there with a great tackle. was able to almost take Perkins down there with one arm. So a lot of explosive power there on that defensive line. Again, we've mentioned them quite a few times about today.
It will be a 3rd and 17 from their own 39, and we are going to see John Lampy again in an obvious passing situation. From the pistol, he's got three to his right, one to his left. He drops back, has time to throw, rolling out to his right, looking deep down the field, finds his man, that's number 14. He's down at the 30, almost loses it, but regains the possession. And again, it looks like that is going to be Colin Pearson on the catch, moving the chains 2 for 2. Huge plays there for John Lampy.
And a good job by Lampy. You know, I mean, that is something that's tough. You know, he's got to come back, and he's got to come out now. And it looks like they're going to give him – it looks like they're going to actually give him the next snap here. So Lampy's starting to prove himself a little bit there and starting to really settle into that senior position. Sometimes you just need that almost no return, that point of no return, like, hey, you got to win your position here. And I think Lampy's doing a great job.
Has 79 passing yards already in this one on two passes. He's going to hand it off to Perkins off the left tackle. Moves through the hole right there across the 25-yard line right there for a pickup of about six.
And again, another great job there just by the offensive line. They've worked much better almost this season, and especially this game. You know, they came out rough against Arsenal Tech, you know, and it was a very young offensive line. And now coming out today, it looks like they're doing a much better job, starting to get a little more comfortable and really working on those blocking assignments.
It looks like Lampy's going to stay out there for another one. He's got three wide, two to his right. That is Baldridge and Baldwin, with Roberts on the other side. Looks like he's going to try to give that one off to Perkins, but again, that one going absolutely nowhere. It's going to set up a third and long situation after he loses about two or three.
And that was Dane Hayden and company there for the Trinity Shamrocks. Again, reminding you, 8:15 left in this first half, 7-0 in favor of the Shamrocks. But it's been back and forth football so far. Kind of tagging between fast pace and then not so much. So
Lampy will drop back from the 27-yard line in a lot of pressure. He's going to be brought down close to the line of scrimmage. Could be called a sack right there, about even with the line. And that's going to bring up a fourth down. Let's see if they elect to keep the offense out there. No movement yet on the sidelines from the special teams crew. We'll bring up the fourth down, and Lampy is looking at the offensive signals right now.
And again, I know we're called his name before, but hey, got to give him some credit. Number 47, Adam King. He's up to three tackles on the day. Done a good job there on the defensive line. And so Lampy now with about a fourth and seven here. Can he prove himself?
Big pressure situation from the Trinity 27-yard line. Lampy looks over the middle, finds his tight end Scott, who drops the ball right at the 20-yard line, which would have been a first down, or at least would have been right there with the line, and that's going to be another turnover on downs on the Carmel Greyhounds deep in the Trinity territory.
And John Lampy had nothing to do with that play right there. An incredible play. He was able to thread the needle. He's done a great job of throwing today, something that he really didn't do last game. And that's just a fundamental error. You know, Joey Scott's a senior. He's a great player, and guys, good blocking tight end. But you've got to make that catch. You know, that's a potential chain-moving catch right there. And so now it results in Trinity's got the ball, and I'll tell you what, Reggie Bonifon's not looking to slow it down.
He's got four wide. He's going to put Brooks in motion, three towards his right. A lot of motion. He's going to fake it. Now Bonifon off the right tackle is going to take this one himself across the 35, stumbling across the 40-yard line. He's got the first down after the gain of 12.
And so, again, it's something that it's just so tough. You know, you got a quarterback like Reggie Bonifon who can run the ball. You know, he can run it up the middle. He can run it on the sides. You really got to watch that outside for him there. He's a scrambling quarterback. He can throw on the run. He can really evade a lot of defensive pressure. And then he can just flat out throw, you know.
They're going to come back out with the five wide set. He's got three to his left this time from his own 41-yard line. Right hash, 6:48 remaining here in the first half, taking his time. And again, you talk about the pace in this one. We see a lot of hurry-up offense, and then a lot of these quarterbacks just kind of want to take it back a minute, make sure they have the play. They're going to run the option. He finds Brooks, and a beautiful move right across Lingren right there, across the 50-yard line, brought down into Carmel territory, close to the first down marker.
And it's not an easy task to evade that linebacking core right there. You know, that's almost like when you're facing those guys head on, it's almost a sure tackle. And so a good job there of Brooks, who's really come up big and almost kind of that offset runs. You know, we're talking about options and even when they have him in the slot. So Brooks is really providing almost that bailout plan for Bonifon when things don't go the way, well, they're supposed to.
And it's been a balanced attack so far, it appears, for Trinity. 70 and 42 are the pass and rushing yardage numbers right now. He's going to come out with a two-wide set. He's got a tight end and Brooks in the backfield, rolling out to his right, looking deep down the field, plenty of time to throw, steps up and finds his man, that Swaback, across the 25-yard line. The safety's giving chase. He's going to be brought down close to the 20-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds around the 18.
Swaback's that big play guy you got to watch out for. And just, we do have a flag here on the field. It was thrown in the backfield, and Bonifon is not moving forward on the field, so it's going to be a false start here on the offense. And again, you know, we had a few of those on the Greyhounds where some great plays by Isaac James and another great throw by Lampy were called back because of some penalties. And here we're seeing the same situation with Trinity. And so Bonifon's going to almost have to start over now with worse field position than before.
But when you think about it, that was a throw made in traffic with about five Hound players right there, right to his man. Great throw, so take something positive out of that situation, but that will move them back 5 yards from what they had before. So we'll set up the first and 15 from their own 46-yard line.
And a good job by Swabek there on the reception to come up and meet the ball as it was getting to him. Again, splitting that defensive core.
So it looks like he's going to go possibly under center this time. He's got three wide receivers out there, two to his right. They're going to put a man in motion. That is Woody Campbell. Kind of going out as a split back right now with 5:38 remaining. He's going to get off to Brooks up the middle. He's going to be met by Vic Rowe right at the line of scrimmage. And Conway and company end up pushing him back towards maybe possibly getting back to the line, a gain of one.
And Sean Stetson there doing a good job of getting in on that action a little bit. And he's really a solid player now. I like how they play him because he is listed as a defensive end. And he's a senior, but he's only 5'6". He's only 163 pounds. But they really play him as almost like that spy linebacker kind of position. And he's a really tough guy to block and get around. He's got that Dwight Freeney speed. So watch for him to make up some big plays today.
5 minutes to go here in the half. They're going to go four wide, split the difference. And they're going to put Brooks in motion to make it five wide. So Bonifon looking towards the sideline finds his receiver as Akins makes a big hit right there, limiting the gain to about 5 yards.
Alex Akins, that sophomore presence that we've talked about, who's done an incredible job to step up this season and really filled the shoes of some guys who were suspended. They will be back. It's all good. But Akins is almost proving his worth here. And it'll be interesting to see if he almost stays on that varsity team. And now the student section of the Greyhounds getting pretty loud here. We've got a 3rd and 8. Reggie Bonifon now. Let's see if he can almost guide this team to a mini victory.
So four wide, they split the difference. Brooks in the backfield. He drops back. They're coming with the blitz. Lindgren on chase. They give it off to Brooks. Going to be close to the line of scrimmage, but he barrels across the 35-yard line and will have enough to move the chains and goes to his go-to man. And Brooks once again converts on a huge play.
And that is one thing I really, really respect about Brooks as a receiver, whether he's got the ball wherever he is, he's that kind of guy who will just barrel through guys. And a lot of times people take too much time juking, and you know, it's kind of like they stop and they start and they're trying to find the way around and they actually lose yards or don't gain as many as possible.
And this time he's going to be rolling out to his left, looking way deep down the field, and again a huge, looks like it's going to be a catch right down at the 1 yard line. And Burns again, Rajay Burns, with another huge catch right down to 1 yard line for Trinity, setting up a first and goal at the 1 yard line.
Riley Smith, the safety, put a wallop on Burns there. Just another great testament to Burns' hands and the fact that he was able to hold on to that ball. So now Trinity is really creeping up on that end zone. And we may potentially see here a 14-0 lead from Trinity, which sure sounds a lot like deja vu from Nashville last game.
I formation, they have Brooks in the backfield. Let's see what they try to go with here. They give it to Brooks up the middle. He's going to fall into the end zone, and that is an easy touchdown right there for Trinity to make it 13-0 with 3:28 remaining here in the first half. And right now, if you look at the stat sheet, 121 passing yards for Reggie Bonifon already here in the first half with time to spare.
And another one of those testaments there to the blocking of that offensive line. You know, an area that has seemed to be pretty weak for Trinity coming up big today and results in a touchdown there.
So it looks like they're going to bring in Day once again for the extra point, as reliable as ever, and he puts that one right through, 14-0.
And the extra point is another one of those areas that, Jesse, like we talked about before, is kind of underrated, you know, as unappreciated. And, you know, that was the difference between Trinity's loss last game was the fact that they were not able to convert on those PATs and even the two-point conversions there. So just another area that Trinity has really done a good job to cover so far.
So with 3:28 remaining, we're going to send it back for some quick station imaging. You are listening to 91.3 WHA, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
They aren't just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Thank you to Lonnie Perkins for assisting the production for those liners right there in imaging. With 3:28, Karma will regain possession of the football, trailing 14-0 to the Trinity Shamrocks. Chris Perkins and Austin Roberts back deep to return as this one going in the area of Roberts again in the end zone for the automatic touchback. So no returns available right now for the Karma Greyhounds as he's just been kicking them right into the end zone all night.
And again, that's just something that stops the Greyhounds dead in their tracks, you know. And sure, it's not awful field position, but there's no momentum being played there. And so whether it's Lampe or Isaac James coming out to take the snap, they have to create that momentum themselves and get something going.
It looks like it's going to be John Lampe once again continuing what he started last drive, and a lot of offensive momentum. Has 79 yards already in the first half. Has been quite impressive to this point. Two or three of passing. One of his passes was dropped on the last drive. He's going to come out in a three-wide set. Two to his right. Takes the snap. Dropping back to pass. Looking over towards his right. Doesn't have a lot of time to throw. And he's going to be brought down right close to the 20-yard line. And, when you're a quarterback, you have that mental clock going off telling you you got to release the ball or you got to run with it. I think that's what we saw right there.
Yeah, and another good heads-up play there by Lampe to at least try to get back to the line and not cause a further loss there. But now they'll just have to reset here at second down and about 10.
So from his own 20-yard line, this time from the right hash, they put Scott in motion. He's got two receivers, two to his left, one to his right, dropping back to pass in the pocket. They find Roberts off the screen on the right side. He's going to be brought down for about a gain of a yard, setting up 3rd and 9.
And that was number 52, Damon Lowe. Again, we've called his name quite a few times this game. He's coming up big along with guys like Adam King. So already shutting a guy like Austin Roberts down. That's very, very impressive right at the line of scrimmage here.
So it will be about a 3rd and 8 situation as Lampe taking extra time, trying to milk the clock down a little bit here. So they're going to go 4 wide receivers as Perkins still in the backfield. They actually put the tight end Scott in the slot on the right side. He's going to drop back. Doesn't have a lot of time to throw. They find Baldridge at the 30-yard line, down the sideline, close to the 40, depending on where they spot him, but he will have the first down at the 39.
And a good job there by Baldridge to make a nice reception and work it up the field. And I can't tell if he got out. I think they're actually going to say it's inbounds. So the clock will run. They've got 2 minutes remaining and 8 seconds. So here comes that two-minute drill you practice all the time.
From his own 39, he's got 3 to his left, 1 to his right. He's going to keep it off the option. Everyone's fooled on that one. It takes a big hit at the 45-yard line, gains about 6 yards.
A big hit by number 7. That's Cannon Jackson coming up to take down John Lampe.
So it will be 2nd down in about 4 yards, under 2 minutes to go. You mentioned a 2-minute drill. You have your senior quarterback in there. They have 4 wide, split the difference with Perkins in the backfield off the right hash. From his own 45, Lampe takes a step, looking over towards his left. Now the right, finds Scott at the 50, trying to do everything he can to get out of bounds, but Trinity doing a great job there, keeping him in bounds with number 32, Alex Reesert.
And so now the Greyhounds starting to kind of chip away at some of that field position here and doing a good job to move it forward. We're at a minute 33 now. The countdown begins here, 14-0 in favor of Trinity.
He does pick up the first down, 46 of Trinity. He drops back to pass, rolling out to his right, looking to pass over the middle, and finds Baldridge at the sideline at the 35-yard line. That's going to be a pickup of about 7 yards, so the passing game really starting to take its form.
And again, Jason Baldridge coming up big on this drive. He's had 2 crucial receptions downfield. Almost on that right sideline. So a minute 21. The clock looks like it's going to stop here.
They're going to go 4 wide. 3 to his right with Roberts over alone on the right side. Perkins still in the backfield. Pistol formation. He takes the snap. He's going to give it off to Perkins, who's chased down from behind. A beautiful tackle there by number 44, Zach Berger. A minute 12 remaining in this first half. 14-0 is still the score in favor of Trinity, as Lampe coming back, clock still running, exactly a minute to go. 4 wide, 3 to his right. He takes a snap, bobbles it a little bit, pressure coming over the middle, finds Pearson, who takes a huge hit, but is able to hold on at the 20-yard line, absorbing the huge blow there from the safety. That was number 7, Cannon Jackson, who's delivered 2 of those so far on this drive, and he picks up the first down. with 51 seconds remaining in the half.
And so another great play there, and the Greyhounds are really starting to come out big. Really starting to make some serious progress. Here's Lampe now.
Drops back. He's going to run up the middle this time. Has some room to run across the 10-yard line. He's going to be brought down close to another first down marker. And the chains just keep on moving for the Carmel Greyhounds. This one stops the clock. 36.8 remaining in the first half, but they are deep in the territory, and that will move it inside the 10 of Trinity. First and goal for Lampe. Four wide. They split the difference. Scott, the tight end, is in the slot off the right side. He takes a snap, looks over, tries to find Roberts, but that one's just slightly overthrown behind him. 26 seconds remaining will be second and goal for Lampe when we reset. 130 yards passing in the first half here. Carmel actually outperforming Trinity right now in the passing game by 9 yards. 26 seconds to go. John Lampe will come back out with a four wide set. With Perkins in the backfield, he's going to take the snap from the Trinity 10-yard line, looking over the middle, finds Pearson, takes another big hit right there. Carmel has two timeouts to spare, and it looks like they're going to take another one of those right here. 20 seconds remaining in the first half. Carmel will have one timeout remaining. Please stay tuned after station imaging. We will be right back with the exciting conclusion of the first half of this game.
The Carmel Greyhounds are back in action, and so is the WHJE sports team. But this year is better than ever. John Perkins and Jesse Smith bring you the same expertise with a new sense of style. We're taking this football season to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we have 20 seconds remaining before the end of the first half here as Trinity leads 14-0, but the Carmel Greyhounds are looking to cut into that lead as they are on the 7-yard line of Trinity looking at third and goal as John Lampe has had a spectacular first half of football with 130 passing yards. The Carmel Greyhounds and Trinity both pretty even right now as we speak as far as the total yard situation goes. 166 to 155 as Trinity is going to have the advantage on that one. But again, 20 seconds remaining, third and goal from the seven. They're going to go four wide set as Lampe from the pistol with Perkins in the backfield. Going to give it to Perkins up the middle. Spin move. Diving across into the end zone and touchdown. The Carmel Greyhounds are on the board. 6-14. With 15 seconds and a two-minute drill is almost run perfectly right there by the senior quarterback, John Lampe. Kramer will come out to attempt the extra point to make this, again, a one-possession game. The special teams was something was more of a struggle there in the first game against Arsenal. The 2 points off that safety that we saw. The defense actually pitched the shutout, but Tech was able to get that safety off of a special teams miscue. We also saw a muff punt as Kramer puts that one up and actually hits the scoreboard with that one and will make it 7-14 in favor, again, still of the Trinity Shamrocks. But they will have 15 seconds to work with. I'd like to see if they're going to be more aggressive this time around with 15 seconds to work with, but you do have a big arm in Reggie Bonifon and some deep threats with guys like Donald Brooks and Cody Swayback. You never know. Let's see how the kickoff goes. I'm sure Kramer's going to be going with more of a squib situation right here. Stay tuned after station imaging. We'll be right back with the end of the first half.
They are just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
And, of course, that was a quick plug there for High School Game Day. We had the first one ever earlier tonight. That one started at 6 o'clock. A nice little 45-minute show with all the members of the WHJE Sports Department. Just a nice way to start every home game. Just to get everything out about Carmel sports that you need to know. Get the other guys on the air as well. With 15 seconds to go in this half, Carmel cuts into the lead 7-14 as Kramer will be kicking off to the Trinity Shamrock. Squibs this one over towards the left side of the field. They're going to have some good field position, that's for sure. Aziz is going to be brought down at around the 43-yard line.
And so a very, very good job again on the special team, something we talk about that. As 10 seconds remain and there seems to be some confusion, everybody's just rushing onto the field here. And the ball's going to be placed here at about the 42-yard line now. And so Bonifon and company are going to have 10 seconds to try something insane. We got a little commotion up here in the booth. Everybody's going crazy here. This is the play of the year, potentially. This could be the one that you want to see, folks. Bonifon now rolling out. He's moving up pressure. He's rolling out to the right side here. He's trying to find someone. Chucks it up to the right side, and it looks like it's not going to be caught. So with 2 seconds remaining here, what a play there by Bonifon.
So they will have 2 seconds to work with here for possibly one more strike at the end zone. But from his own 43-yard line, we saw him do this against Nashville, Tennessee last week. He has the arm strength to get it to the end zone. There's no doubt. It's just a matter of he's got to give his receivers the time to get downfield, and the offensive line has to give him that protection enough time. Let's see if they do. They're going to take the kneel and play it more conservative here. But the Carmel Greyhounds are able to cut into that lead before the end of the first half. The two-minute drill is successful. 14-7 is the end of the first half.
And we're going to send it back here to the station now for a little bit of a break. We're going to have some tunes, and we'll be back with some more Carmel varsity football.